virtues of Sadaqa. Sadaqa wipes out sins like water, extinguishes fire. Sadaqa wipes out sins like water, extinguishes fire.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers, inshallah, in this episode we're going to discuss the harms of stinginess, being miserly and withholding from spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, let us listen to an excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the one who recites Durood Sharif salat ala nabi 100 times daily, Allah azza wa jal inscribes between his eyes that this person is bara'atan min an-nar wa bara'atan min an-nifaq. He is free from the fire of hell and from hypocrisy as well. He is free from hypocrisy. And not only that, wa askanahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamati ma'a ash-shuhada. On the day of judgment, Allah azza wa jal will keep such a person with the martyrs, with the shuhada. Subhanallah. So not just one benefit, multiple benefits mentioned in this hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam. And this should encourage us that by merely reciting Salat ala Nabi 100 times daily, we receive all of these rewards, different kinds of rewards. So inshallah, make an intention, take time out, where we spend hours and hours surfing on the net, social media. In fact, nowadays those apps and phones even tell you how much time you gave to a particular app, particular social media site. For example, if you were to just reflect, Allahu Akbar, we'd realize that a lot of our day is spent in surfing the net, going on social media, and let's be honest, in fuduliyat, in useless things. But here, you give 10 minutes, 20 minutes, however long it takes you to recite Salat ala Nabi 100 times, Subhanallah, you'll be free from the fire of hell, free from hypocrisy. You'll be amongst the martyrs on the day of judgment. What more can we ask for? So let's take advantage of the time we have, the breaths that we have left in our life. And may Allah give us tawfiq to recite salat upon the Prophet ﷺ in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us begin with the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 36 and 37 of Surah Nisa mentions that he does not like those who are stingy. Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions this, sarih, mentions this clearly. He states, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Indeed, Allah does not like the one who is arrogant, the one who is boastful. And then they are described, these arrogant and boastful people, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ, who are stingy, those who are stingy, وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ, and they order people to be stingy as well. وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and they conceal the grace that Allah has bestowed upon them. Whatever Allah has given them of His grace, they conceal that. Now bukhl, the word bukhl, the Arabic word, means stinginess. And it refers to a person who he eats himself, he consumes things himself, uses things himself, but he does not spend on others. Whereas the word shuh in Arabic refers to someone who doesn't benefit himself, doesn't consume or utilize blessings himself, and neither does he let others. And the word sakhi, sakha, this refers to somebody who eats himself, takes advantage of blessings himself, and he spends on others as well, provides benefit to others as well. And this third category is what we should try and be from, not the first two. Now, bukhl, as you heard, is something that is condemned in Islam. It's rebuked. It's not a good quality. It's not a good trait to possess. And we should stay far away from it. In fact, in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the stingy person, he is far away from Allah. He's far away from the people. The people don't like him either. And he is close to the fire of hell. Whereas the sakhi person, he is close to Allah, he's close to the hearts of people, and he's close to Jannah. So ask yourself, what should we be? We should be sakhi, of course. And we should stay far away from being miserly, being a stingy person. And another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the person who is stingy, he is cursed by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to this hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن يَوْمٍ يُصْبِحُ الْعِبَادُ فِيهِ إِلَّا مَلَكَانِ يَنْزِلَانِ. There is no such morning for a person except that two angels descend on that day. فَيَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمَا. One of them says, one of the angels says, اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِ مُنْفِقًا خَلَفًا. O Allah Azza wa Jal, grant the one who spends a return. Meaning give him better than what he has spent in your way. اللهم أعطي منفقا خلفا ويقول الآخر. And the other angel says, اللهم أعطي ممسكا تلفا. Oh Allah, give the one who withholds, give the mumsik, the one who does not spend, تلف, give him loss, meaning may he suffer loss. الله أكبر. In the commentary of this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that the sakhi has been supplicated for, and the kanjus, the bakhil, the stingy person, he has been cursed. And the angels have prayed against him. And whenever the angels make a dua, then no doubt it's accepted. They do not sin. They only do what Allah Azza wa Jal orders them. They are obedient to Allah Jalla wa Ala. And when they do dua for someone or against someone, it'll be accepted. So this is something that we should keep in mind. The Quran encourages us that وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Whatever you spend, inshallah, in the way of Allah, it will be replaced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you in place of that something which is better, inshallah. Let's listen to another narration. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Sayyidina Abu Umamah radiallahu anhu is the narrator. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, يَا إِبْنَ آدَمْ. O son of Adam, إِنَّكَ إِن تَبْذُلِ الْفَضْلَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. If you spend your savings, meaning the wealth you have, your possession, the leftover wealth, if you spend that in the way of Allah, that is better for you. وَإِن تُمْسِكْهُ شَرٌ لَكَ. And if you were to withhold it, if you were to not spend from it, this is not better for you. This is bad for you. وَلَا تُلَامُ عَلَى كَفَافٍ. And if you were to keep with you from that wealth an amount which is necessary or which you will need, then this is fine, you won't be rebuked upon this. وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. SubhanAllah, when you spend, then you should start with your family members. Start with your blood relatives. And there are so many rewards of giving to your relative. In fact, in some narrations it's mentioned that if somebody gives sadaqah to his family members, blood relatives, he will receive double reward. Double the reward than giving to someone else, meaning an ordinary Muslim, a normal Muslim. So giving family members, blood relatives is more important. وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. Begin with your family. وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. SubhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the giving hand is better, the giving hand which is above is better than the hand which is below, meaning the taking hand. So giving is better than taking. SubhanAllah, may Allah bless us in such a way that the wealth we have, we give in His way, so that we are blessed in both worlds. So when we look at the hadith collection, time and time again we'll find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged people to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so many narrations regarding the importance, the virtue of giving sadaqah, subhanAllah, and helping others as well. And this next hadith sharif that I want to mention, this is in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim radiallahu ta'ala. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again encourages people. And he mentions three types of friends. Listen carefully to this narration. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Sayyidun Anas radiallahu anhu is the rabi, that al-akhillau thalathatun, that friends are of three types. فَأَمَّا خَلِيلٌ. As for the first one, لك ما أعطيت وما أمسكت فليس لك. The first friend says, for you is what you have given, and what you have withheld is not for you. فذلك مالك. And that is your wealth. That's the first friend. وأما خليل فيقول. As for the second friend, he says, أنا معك حتى تأتي باب الملك. ثم أرجع واتركك فذلك أهلك وعشيرتك يعيشونك حتى تأتي قبرك. ثم يرجعون فيتركوك. The second type of friend says, I'm with you until you go to the door of the master, the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning until you die. And then that friend returns, leaves you. What is that friend? فَذَلِكَ أَهْلُكَ وَعَشِيرَتُكَ. Your family members, your close ones. They live with you until you reach your grave. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُونَ فَيَتْرُكُوكَ. Then they return and they abandon you. وَأَمَّا خَلِيلٌ فَيَقُولُ. As for the third friend, Rafi alayhi salam writes, the third friend says, أَنَا مَعَكَ حَيْثُ دَخَلْتَ وَحَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ. I am with you when you arrive, and I am with you when you go. فَذَلِكَ عَمَلُكَ. And that third friend is your amal. After hearing this, the person says that from all three of these friends, the last one, meaning amal, you were the one who was most disliked by me. Meaning he didn't pay much attention to amal in the world. It was his wealth and his family members. They overwhelmed his mind, the thoughts of them. But amal, he didn't pay attention to it. So it's very, very important that we do amal. And whilst we're alive, we give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to another narration wherein we're told that being bakhil, being stingy, being deprived of sustenance. This hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, and the narrator is Sayyidatuna Asma bint Abi Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the daughter of the first Khalifa of the Muslim, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. She says, قَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, لَا تُوكِي فَيُوكَ عَلَيْكَ. Do not refrain from spending in the way of Allah. Otherwise, you will not be spent on. Meaning, sustenance will be withheld from you as well. And we see this today where people, ma'adallah, they don't give what is obligatory. They don't give zakat. They don't give qurbani. They don't have no knowledge regarding this. Very ignorant times we are living in. People don't seek knowledge of the deen, unfortunately. And those very same people, they don't give the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, zakat is the right of Allah. It's mentioned in the Quran. It's fard. It's obligation. It's an obligation. Whoever denies this obligation leaves the fold of Islam. Obviously, there are conditions. Wealthy people meet those conditions. And many people, they don't give zakat. And what happens is, at times, they may suffer a calamity which leads to them having to spend that money anyway. So a person, for example, who saved £10,000, and he thinks, if I give zakat on that, I'll have to give £250. I'm not going to give it. Or he says that within himself, he doesn't give zakat. Then he suffers an accident or something happens where he has to spend £250 anyway. So this is how the ulama explained that there is no benefit in violating the rights of Allah and withholding your money, especially when it comes to obligations like zakat, qurbani, etc. So this is something that we must bear in mind. The hadith tells us, do not refrain from giving. Do not restrict your hand from giving. Otherwise, you will be deprived of sustenance as well. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite wisdom, He grants some people wealth, and He keeps some people poor. And we see this in the world. Some people are wealthy, some people are very poor. And this is the hikmah of Allah Jalla wa Ala. We cannot understand it. But we should be of those who are content with the will of Allah, whatever condition He places us in. We've seen it on many occasions where a poor person, he is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his fortune awakes and he becomes wealthy. And we've seen the opposite as well. Wealthy people overnight become bankrupt. So it's a test when you have wealth and when you don't have wealth. And if you do receive wealth, then you should give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You shouldn't be stingy. You should be grateful to Allah azza wa jal. And when you are grateful, Allah will give you more. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And in this regard, there is a lengthy hadith which I just like to summarize. It's a famous hadith mentioned in Bukhari. There was a leper, a bald-headed person, and a blind man. And this is a story related to Bani Israel. One day an angel came in the disguise of a human to the leper and said, "What do you like the best?" He said, "I want good skin, good color. People despise me because of this illness." And so the angel touched him and immediately he was cured of his illness. He said, "What possession, what asset do you like the most? What would you like to have the most? Which wealth is beloved to you?" He said, "Cows or camels?" The narrations differ. He said, "Camels." And the Ravi is unsure whether it was camels or cows. And he was granted camels. And the angel prayed, "May Allah give you barakah in them." He was granted a pregnant she-camel. And the angel prayed, "May Allah give you barakah in it." And went. Then the angel left and went to the second person, the bald-headed person, and said, "What do you like the most?" He said, "I want hair. I want beautiful hair." Why? Because people, they dislike me for this reason, I'm bald. He touched his head and he received what he wanted. He said, "Which maal is best in your eyesight? Which maal is best in your sight?" He said, "Cows." So he was given a pregnant cow and the angel prayed for him to attain blessings in it. Thirdly, the angel went to the blind person, asked him, "What is most beloved to you? What do you want?" He said, "I want my eyesight to be restored." And again, the angel placed his hand over his eyes and he regained his eyesight, subhanAllah. And then he said to him, "What do you like?" He said, "A sheep." He gave him a pregnant nanny goat, a sheep, and prayed for him as well. There was so much barakah that each of these individuals had valleys, fields full of camels, cows and sheep, each of them, whatever they requested. In terms of the first requesting a camel, he had a valley full of camels, the second one a valley full of cows, the third one a valley full of sheep. And then the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. The angel came in the disguise of a human, a traveler, and said, "I've lost my provisions, I can't go home, can't arrive home, can't reach home." So he went to the first person, meaning the leper, and said, "Give me something from what Allah has given you. I have hope in Allah and then I have hope in you." And he said, "I have too many responsibilities of myself. I can't give you anything." He said, "I recognize you. You're not that person who was a leper before. And then Allah removed your illness and granted you wealth." He said, "No, I received this wealth from my forefathers." The angel said, "If you're lying, then may Allah restore you to your first state." Then he went to the second person, again disguised, said, "I am suffering, I am in difficulty." And he begged him to give him something. The second one replied in the same way, meaning the bald-headed person. The angel said, "Were you not that bald person who didn't have hair before? Allah blessed you with wealth." He said, "As the first, no." He said, "If you're lying, then may you be restored to your former state." And then he went to the third person, meaning the blind person, and asked him. He said, "I am destitute, I need some provisions. Allah has restored your eyesight and given you riches. Give me something from it." And that person, he did iqrar. He testified, "Yes, I was in that state before. I was blind. Allah restored my eyesight. Allah gave me wealth. So take what you want from it." He was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Take what you need from it. I will not stop you." And the angel said, "I don't need anything. This was a test from Allah jalla wa ala. You've passed it and your associates, they have failed the test." Now, dear viewers, this is a powerful narration. That when we have wealth, are we grateful? Are we willing to give? This was a story of giving to a random person who is in need of help. But what about the rights of Allah? Are we fulfilling them? Or are we stingy in that regard as well? And then when people around us are in need, we see that they're in need, do we help out? Do we reach out to them? Even family members, blood relatives, we know they're in a difficult state. Do we even ask them if there's any way we can help? Today, sadly, we live in a society, a time where everyone just cares about themselves. I should be financially set. It doesn't matter whatever anyone else is going through. And even if we're blessed, how many of those people help others? Now imagine if every wealthy person in the world gave zakah, there would be no poverty. all the billionaires, multimillionaires, if they gave their zakat as they ought to, calculated as they calculated in accordance to Sharia and the rulings of Sharia, if they ever go before a mufti and say, this is how much wealth I have, these are my assets, what do I have to give? And if they were to give fully, then subhanallah, Allah Jalla wa Ala would show the beauty of Islam to us, meaning giving zakat would eradicate poverty. People are so scared, they have so much, but they're scared of losing wealth. But you'll never lose wealth by giving it. Allah will bless you with more, inshallah. So Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us the blessed habit of being generous, being amongst the generous people, and those who give to others. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us, our family members, our coming generations from stinginess, miserliness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to help others financially and in other ways as well. And may Allah jalla wa ala save us from ever feeling stingy in our hearts and depriving others of their rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to remember what has been said in this episode and to act upon it as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Watches off sadaqa, sadaqa wipes out sins like water, extinguishes fire. Sadaqa wipes out sins like water, extinguishes fire.